Take your Bibles, go to Isaiah 14. Isaiah 14. Pastor mentioned me this morning how, you know, children making you backslide, you're sitting in the back. You know, the real reason is, if you've had children, you understand, you don't get as much sleep. And so I got to get it when I can. I know if I'm back there sleeping, I'm less of a distraction. So I can't do that tonight, though, because if I start falling asleep, you guys might all get up and leave on me or something. So. Hey, when we go through life, you, given the opportunity, if you want a genuine or a counterfeit, what do you choose? Genuine. We're in Dr. Pepper land, so, you know, do you want a Dr. Pepper or do you want a Dr. Thunder?
Yes.
Do you want Dr. Pepper, right? Or Dr. Whatever, you know, the imitation, the cheap, you know. I could really get in a real bad debate here because people, you know, some people like Pepsi, but if you talk to a Coke person, they say Pepsi is a counterfeit of Coke. But you know, but then you know, you go to watches. You know, you got a Rolex, right?
Right.
You spend hundreds of thousands of dollars on a Rolex, but then you can go down to New York City and you can pick a Rolex up for $20.
Right.
Well, you ain't getting a real one, right? You're getting a counterfeit. It may look like one, but you're gonna find out real quick. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. I've heard of people, they go over to China and they pick up iPhones.
Oh, yeah.
Looks just like one. If you bring it in, I mean, it looks like a same thing. But as soon as you boot that thing up, you find out real quick, that's not a real iPhone. It looks like one, but it's not running the same software and it's not got the same parts. It's just got a shell. It's a counterfeit. It's a counterfeit. We're going to look at God's genuine versus Satan's counterfeit tonight.
Yes,
I got to look at him like, wow, Satan's got a lot of counterfeits out there.
Oh, yes.
A lot of counterfeits. And, you know, sometimes even we can get duped a little bit. And we just got to keep on our toes. And I got some solutions as to how we can do that. But first, we're gonna look at his counterfeits. Look at Isaiah 14. Look at verse 12. It all started back here. When it started, God was a genuine and Satan wanted to make a counterfeit. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. He wanted to make himself a counterfeit. He saw God, and personally, I believe Satan was the first being God created. That's my personal opinion. I think Satan came to be, and over time, he thought, well, how do I know you didn't just show up when I showed up? And he decided, hey, I'm going to ascend above God. I'm going to be like God, but he can never be like God. He's always going to be the counterfeit. He will never be like him. He cannot be like him because he's not him. He's not him. Let's go to God in a word of prayer this evening as we get into the message tonight.
Amen.
Lord, we thank you for the folks that came tonight that are faithful to be here in your house on a Sunday evening and a holiday weekend of all that as well, Lord. But God, you're important to them. That's why they're here.
Amen.
God, I ask you to make sure that Jason Dunbar gets pushed off to the side and that you can be glorified tonight in this message. Lord, give me the right words to say as I preach and... help your name and you to be honored tonight in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
What else is he a counterfeit of? Go to 1 Peter chapter 5. We'll be looking at a few verses tonight. 1 Peter 5 and verse 8. It says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Satan tries to be a lion. He's a roaring lion. Roaring lion. But you know what? Here's the difference between he and Christ. We're going to see Christ here in a minute. Christ is a lion as well. But here's the difference, and it says it right there. Seeking whom he may devour. You're not going to see that with Jesus Christ. But Satan, he's going around, he's looking who he can devour. He wants to bring down. He wants to destroy. And it's not just with Christians. It's with the lost world.
Right.
It amazes me, the people that you look at, the lost crowd, you look at Hollywood or politics or sports or whatever the case may be, and you look at the people that are lifted up in the world.
Right.
And you're like, wow, you know, they keep getting lifted up, and then all of a sudden something happens and they're just brought down. There's an actor, whenever I think of this analogy, I always think of him for some reason. There was an actor, his name was Heath Ledger, and he was at the height, at the peak of his acting career. He had gotten a premium position and a role, and people said he was the best there'd ever been. He just did a fantastic job in that role. And shortly after finishing that movie, he OD'd on drugs. He's at the peak of his career, making all kinds of money, doing the best. And he's sought after. People want him now for their role, for their movies, because, man, he's so good. And here's Satan just lifting him up and lifting him up and lifting him up and lifting him up, and then brings him down.
Amen.
He was seeking whom he could devour, and well, I've used you enough. I'm going to bring you down.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
But he does that to us, too. He's looking to see, what Christian can I tear down? What Christian can I destroy? What pastor, you know, hey, what ministry can I destroy?
Yes, sir. Oh, yeah.
Whenever you hear a church split, that's not of God. That's of the devil.
Amen.
Devil's looking, who can I get in and start to affect them so I can tear them down so they can rip a church apart?
Right. Yes, sir.
Yeah. Whose ministry can I destroy? Hey, he wants to destroy pastors. Especially pastors preaching the truth. He doesn't want that. He wants to devour. Whereas the opposite is Jesus Christ. Look in Revelation chapter 5. Revelation 5 and verse 4, it says, "And I wept much." This is John writing. He saw the books that couldn't be opened, "because no man was found worthy to open and read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders said unto me, Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb, as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints." No man was found worthy.
Amen.
But Jesus Christ, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, he's worthy. He's worthy. See, Satan wants to imitate that, but he can't. Because he's not worthy. And so instead, he's a lion seeking whom he may devour.
Right. Amen.
Devour. What else? What else? Go to John chapter 6. John 6 and verse 68. It says, "Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go?" Jesus just asked his disciples, hey, are you going to leave too? He just had some people that were following him leave. "To whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus answered them, "Have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil." Even Peter and the disciples realized, Jesus, you're the Christ. You're the Christ we've been looking for. You've come to free people. He came to free people and set them free of their sin, set them free of hell so that they could go to heaven. What does Satan do? Satan makes the Antichrist. He can't produce the Christ, so he tries to make the Antichrist in 1 John chapter 4. 1 John 4, verse 3. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. Yeah, there will be the Antichrist one day during the tribulation period, but there's that spirit of Antichrist that's going on right now.
Amen. That's right.
That's convincing men that, oh, you don't need Christ, just accept this Christ.
Right.
Yeah, it's a false Christ.
Right.
He puts it up all the time. He can't produce the real Christ, so he produces the Antichrist, which is nothing like the real Christ. If you listen to the other religions and how they portray Christ to be, which is the spirit of Antichrist,
right?
Not even close. Some say, well, he's the brother of Satan. Well, now he is equal with Satan, and he's no longer equal with God. That's blasphemy.
Amen.
Some put him, man, you talk to Roman Catholic Church, they still got him in the manger with Mary and the baby as a baby. It's unbelievable. They put Mary above him. Unreal. It's the Antichrist. What else? What else does Satan do to make the counterfeit? Look in 2 Corinthians 11. Verse 13, it says, for such are false prophets, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. An angel of light. Then look in John chapter 1 and John chapter 8. John 1 and verse 5 says, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not.
Right.
There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the... Notice that light's capitalized.
Yes, sir.
You know who that's talking about. That's Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The light that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, meaning John was not the light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. In chapter 8 and verse 12 of John, it says, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life.
Amen.
Satan tries to appear
right.
as an angel of light.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know how he does it. He tries to, he does different things and different tactics, but he is not light. He's the darkness.
Amen.
He's the darkness that's in this world. He's the darkness that tries to blind men's eyes.
Amen.
And yet he tries to appear as he's the light? Not possible. But Jesus is the light. He's the light that came. And now we have the truth.
Right.
We have salvation. We can see it easily. Man, when you go through the Gospels, it's amazing how the people, they just lost in their sin.
Right.
Some of them, all right, you think about it. Some of them ladies, they were whores. They were harlots. Their living was to give themselves over. And yet they were willing to say, he's the truth. I'm going to stop my evil wickedness that I'm doing because they saw the light.
Amen.
Folks, that was profitable, lucrative, lots of money. I read a book many years ago called Killing Christ, and it was the research done on it was really good, but it gave me an idea of, man, put yourself in that time period. If you're a single woman, there's not much you could do to make a living.
Right.
And often that was the best means of income. And they're willing to say, I'd rather be poor and have the light
yes,
than go back to that wickedness
Amen.
And live in darkness.
Amen.
He's the light. Satan can't ever do it. He'll try to produce it.
Right.
But he is not the light. He appears as
right.
an angel of light. But he's not producing that light. He can't. He can't. What else? How about families? What are the families God produced? Adam and Eve, first family.
Right.
Right? What did he say? Man and a woman.
Right.
Amen.
What does Satan do?
Mm-hmm.
Satan says everything but
right.
a man and a woman.
Amen.
Look at our country. What does he want to do? Oh, single mom? Yeah, that's a family.
No.
You know how hard that is on a lady? Yeah. I've talked to my wife, and she's like, man, I don't know how they do it. I wouldn't want to go through that.
Right.
Now it's man and a man, woman and a woman. Man and a dog. It's getting crazy out there. They're going all kinds of wickedness. And Satan's saying, hey, go ahead. You can do this and you can do that. We're not going to go down that road. I've just thought of something else, but I'm not going there. But it's wicked what they want to do. Some of them just, hey, have multiple wives. Is it in the Bible? Yeah, but God never condoned it. God never once condones any man from having more than one wife. Not once. They even go so far, you watch a TV show and it'll be like a workplace and they're, oh, we're family here.
Yeah.
I think, wow, what a lie of the devil.
Yes, sir.
Amen. I never once went to my job site and thought, man, you guys are my family.
Oh, no.
No, I was thinking, man, I can't wait to get out of here to go be with my family. Because this is not my family. I did not choose to want to live with you people. I want to go be with my family. I chose to work with you because I got to provide, but I don't want to stay here. You are not my family.
Amen.
But that's the lie of the devil.
Right.
Yeah, pump it through Hollywood, you know. Oh, man, family, family. Yeah, your job place can be your family. Anything but what a family really is. Anything but. You know what? God gave us the family. He said, look,
amen.
A man and a woman come together and they have children. It's beautiful.
Amen.
But you know what? God even gave us one more family.
Right.
He said, you know, you need to have two. You need to have two. Go to Revelation chapter 1. I think somebody just gave a spoiler out there as to what this is going to be. Revelation 1:19 says, write the things which thou hast seen. You know, that is not what I need. Write the things which thou hast seen, things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. I got the wrong verse. Let's try 9. There we go. Verse 9. Got a 1 on there. Shouldn't be there. I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ. Who's he talking to? I, John, am your brother?
Yeah.
Is he just writing this to his family?
No.
Oh, he's writing it to the church.
Amen.
God said, I'm going to give you one more family, your church family.
Amen.
You know why we are a family? Because when you get saved, you get put in the family of God.
Amen.
And everybody that's put in the family of God, God is now your father. They're brothers and sisters.
Amen.
Man, we can have fellowship one with another.
Right.
Man, I enjoy when I get back, when I get to see my actual family, it's good to be able to fellowship with them.
Amen.
You know, it's good to fellowship with my church family.
Oh, yeah.
That's one of the reasons why I like coming to church. Always have, especially in midweek service.
Amen.
I like coming because, yeah, I get to hear the preaching of the Word of God, but I get to talk to my church family.
Amen. That's right.
Find out how you're doing. Fellowship with you, talk with you a little bit.
Right.
Try to encourage you, because you know what? I get encouraged by you and when you talk to me.
Right.
It's good, you know, iron sharpens iron, right?
That's right?
We sharpen each other, get each other ready to go. So we got to go back out in the world, because man, we got to live out there still. We can't just stay here all the time.
Right.
Go to John chapter 8. What else? What else is Satan try to counterfeit? Put one finger in John 8, put a finger in John 14. Look at John 14, verse 6. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Who is truth? Jesus is truth. You know, when he stood before Pilate there and he said, "What is truth?" And it's just like, wow, truth was standing right in front of you when you said that statement. You didn't even realize it. But Jesus is truth, always has been, always will be. He gave us, you know, look, there's the truth right there. He gave it to us. He is the Word. Here's the Word. It's truth. Satan tries to produce truth as well. Doesn't exactly come out that way, though. Look in John 8. Look in verse 44. "Ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it." He can't even speak truth. Everything he says is a lie. It says there abides no truth in him. Well, out of what comes out of our heart, what's in our heart comes out, right? Oh, he's a liar. He's the father of it. That's all he produces is lies. God got me thinking. I go, then why do we listen to him? Yeah, dumb. Because you know what? He whispers in our ear and lies to us all the time, and yet we go, yeah, I think I could do that. He's a liar. Why are you listening to him? He's not telling you any truth. He's not trying to help you. He's trying to devour you. Why would you listen to a liar? But we do. He's a liar. He has no truth in him. Has no truth in him. How about marriage? Marriage. Marriage is made by God, designed by God. What does marriage produce? Man, you bring a husband and wife together the right way. Man, it produces love, harmony, a home. It should produce two people that are bettering each other. Right. Ever see a young couple get married and you watch them and you're like, man, they're better off together than they were apart.
Right.
Which is what it should produce. It's two people coming together, making one, man. It should make you, the man should make the wife better, and the wife should make the man better. I've always thought, man, if my wife wouldn't improve and help me, then what was the point of getting married to her? She should be a helpmeet to me and be able to help me be a better person. Should help me. What does Satan produce, though? He produces anything but marriage. He produces fornication and adultery. That's what he pushes on this world. Oh, you don't need to get married. And then the marriage that he does push is not marriage. It's not marriage. It's all kinds of wickedness. It ain't marriage. They'll call it that, but that's not what God defines marriage as. And you know what? They're starting to change it in the dictionaries. You go on the websites, on a dictionary website, and it's getting changed now. Makes me realize, wow, books are real important these days, because once it's in print, you can't change it. But anybody can go onto a website and go, oh, going in the back door, let's change that definition.
Yes, sir. Right. Yes, sir.
And now it's different.
Right. Amen.
Crazy world we live in.
Right. Oh, yes.
But what does this fornication and adultery produce?
Oh, yeah.
Reality is it produces pain and suffering.
Amen.
To you, to your loved ones. Disease, all kinds of disease and wickedness.
Yes, sir.
That's why God said, don't do it.
Amen.
He said, stay away from it. Don't be a part of it.
Amen.
And yet man still goes after it every time.
Oh, yes.
Oh, here, just take this pill to help with that disease. You'll be okay.
Yeah. Right.
Well, if you just stayed away and kept yourself clean in the first place, you wouldn't have to worry about it.
Yeah.
Live right. He always tries to make it look better than what it is. Makes it look pretty, makes it look wonderful, and then it's heartache in the end. Problems. How about salvation? Satan has produced multiple counterfeit religions.
Amen.
Oh, we say this isn't a religion. All right. Have If you're saved, hopefully it's not a religion. You're not here just, well, I'm here because I got it. Man, hopefully you're trying to get a relationship with Christ. But he's produced just thousands of different false religions in this world. You know what they all say? Works. 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 You want to get to heaven, you got to work. You want to get to heaven, you got to pray these prayers all the time. You want to get to heaven, you got to come confess. You want to get to heaven? Well, here's some beads. Do this. Oh, you want to get to heaven? Well, yes, you should pray to God and confess your sin, but then you need to continue to be a good person in order to keep your salvation. That's works. It's works. And they'll even take baptism. I've heard some people say, well, if you don't get baptized, you're not going to heaven. Whoa, really? Well, then that means it's a work. You can't do a work to get to heaven. Even some real good people ended up in hell because they were doing works. Look, Mother Teresa, I'm sure, was a real good lady. She was a nice lady. I mean, she did a lot of good things. She cared for the poor. All right, that's great. But the sad case is, if she didn't put her faith and trust in Jesus Christ as her personal Savior, that lady's in hell today. And it's sad, and I don't wish that on them, but it's the truth. If you don't do this, if you don't do what God says, you say, hey, I'll take the devil's lie. I'll take his counterfeit. I'll work my way there. You're going to go to hell every time. If you turn your back on what God has said, hey, this is salvation. It's a free gift.
Amen.
Last I checked, a free gift I cannot earn. If I have to earn it, then it's no longer free, and it's no longer a gift. A free gift is just simply accepted. It's taken. And that's salvation. God says, here it is. Jesus already paid for it. Not by works of righteousness which ye have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. You just got to accept it. And man goes, no, I don't want that. I'll take this counterfeit over here that's not real, and I'll try to work my way there. Then you're going to hell. You're going to hell, guaranteed. And it's not my words, it's God's words. Because God said so, not because I said so. He even went as far as to tell people the lie that there is no God. The atheist. Which I don't understand that one. I mean, there's so much out there that shows that there is a creator. There is a designer.
Yes, sir.
I asked a couple one time. I was knocking doors, and they said, well, we don't believe in God. And I said, really? You think all this just came by chance? This whole creation? Oh, yeah. I said, so you're telling me, and I pulled my phone out of my pocket. I said, you're telling me that if I just took the parts, threw that in a box, and shook it up long enough, it would go together and make this? And I went, yeah. I thought, you people are dumb. I didn't tell them that, but I thought, you people are dumb. Everybody knows the only way to get something like this is to have a designer.
Yes, sir.
Someone had to think it up. Someone had to put it together. But no, my body and the universe, it just came into existence just by chance. Ain't much art, you know, you can't convince people of, you know, if you can't even get them to start thinking straight, not much hope you can do for them. Just give them a track and hope and pray that, hey, one day your eyes will open up a little bit. But he gives them a lie. He gives them the counterfeit. There's no God. Because he wants every single life destroyed. Because he's that roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. How about heaven and hell? What does the world say about hell? It's a party, right? It's where my friends are. Which I don't understand, because even the world will depict it as having fire. But they all say I'd rather go to hell because it's a party, and heaven is boring, right? Heaven is a place where you're just floating and you're playing on a harp and you're sitting on your cloud. Isn't that what the world depicts heaven as? But what does God depict heaven as? He gives us a little description. Better yet, let's take two apostles, John and Paul. They both went there, and what did they say? I don't have words to describe it to you. It's indescribable. I can't imagine how to just tell you what heaven is like. It's that amazing. That's a pretty amazing place, folks. We were just talking about it on Wednesday nights, and pastors going through, some, you know, we went through some of that, getting to know a little bit of what, hey, what's it going to be like in eternity?
Amen.
And it's just streets of gold? My goodness.
Amen.
We can't even imagine just this church being laid with gold on the floor, let alone every single street.
No. Yeah.
And yet that's what's up in heaven, streets paved with gold.
Big
old pearly gates, and other things. Can't describe it. It's that amazing. But Satan dupes them into thinking that, yeah, you don't want the real deal. You want my counterfeit. You know, God tells us what hell is. Jesus went so far as to describe it to us so we know, hey, there's a man there today. Some people say, well, that's a parable. That's not a parable. Jesus said there was a certain rich man and a beggar named Lazarus. Whoa, he gave us the guy's name. I think on purpose he didn't give us the rich man's name, but he gave us the man that went to Abraham's bosom who's in heaven today. He gave us his name. He was an individual. He was a specific person. So was that rich man. He says, in hell he lifted up his eyes. Today, he's still burning there.
That's right.
In torment.
Yeah.
In flames. Hell is a real place, and it's not a party.
Right.
And I think everyone that thinks it's a party, when they get there, they are in for a surprise.
Yes, sir. Right.
And they're wondering, when am I going to get out? And you're not getting out anytime soon.
There is no
it's sad, but they'll believe this counterfeit.
Yeah.
They don't want to believe the genuine. God's got it for us. He explained it to us what the genuine thing is, but they'll take the counterfeit every time.
Yeah.
Let's hit home a little bit. How about sin versus righteousness? Righteousness, what we should be doing. Sin, what we shouldn't be doing. Look in Genesis chapter 3. Look, we can look at Adam and Eve and point fingers at man. Look, Satan does the same thing with us.
Yes,
it's the same old lies. And for some reason, we listen to it. Genesis 3, verse 1 through 5 says, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the days ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil." What was lie number one? What was in that first verse? "Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden." Well, what was the truth? Go just chapter over. I'm right across the page.
Yes, sir.
Look in verse 16. "And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat.
Yes, sir.
But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it." Whoa. That's totally different from what Satan said. God said, see, all these trees, you can eat all of them freely. Meaning whenever you want, you don't have to come and ask. If you went to a farmer's market and a farmer said, hey, when I'm here every Saturday, you can come and freely take whatever you want.
Amen.
That means you don't have to ask permission. You just go up and gather it. Well, God said, look, here's the garden. You can eat freely of every tree of the garden.
Yep.
You're walking by a nice, beautiful apple tree. You felt like taking a chomp off an apple. Just grab it and eat. Enjoy it.
Amen.
Well, what did Satan say? Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. That's not what God said. He said you could eat of every tree. And then he said, just don't eat of this one tree. But Satan took that one tree and combined it with every other tree of the garden and said, you can't eat of every tree. No, we can eat of every tree. We can freely eat of every tree. Lie number one. Lie number two was in verse 4. He says, ye shall not surely die. Look at verse 17 of chapter 2. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Remember, he's the father of lies.
Yes, sir.
He does not know the truth. The truth does not abide within him. He's still doing the same thing to us today, folks. When he wants you to sin, he gets it and he goes, did God really say that? Did he really? Are you sure you're not able to eat of every tree of the garden? He's pulling the same stuff on us. And we'll just bend our ear a little bit and listen in and, I guess I can do that sin this once. And we're just like Eve and we go off into sin. When we know the truth. You say, I don't know what it is. Well, then get in it and find out what it is. But we've got the truth available to us, but we don't figure it out. We listen to the lie. We listen to the counterfeit. Whereas God is pleased with a righteous people. Look in Proverbs 14. See, God doesn't want us to be people of sin. He wants us to be people of righteousness.
Amen.
That means doing what he would have us to do. Doing what is right. Proverbs 14:34.
Yep.
Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people.
Right.
Doesn't that sound like our country today?
Amen.
Used to be a pretty righteous nation at one point, and now sin is just bringing it down, making the people a reproach. Well, make it personal to yourself. Righteousness exalteth a man, but sin is a reproach to any man.
Right.
You know what? Your righteousness will exalt you. God will be pleased when you're being a righteous person. But when you're allowing sin into your life, it's going to become a reproach to you. It's going to become a reproach. Don't believe Satan's counterfeit and fall into that sin. Don't do it. How can we avoid being fooled into Satan's counterfeit? Look, it happens all the time, right? He whispers into your ear. He gives you the lie. I mean, it just always, you listen to it. Not all of it, maybe. I think we got a lot of people that are saved here tonight. Amen. You didn't believe that lie then.
Amen.
But we'll still hear it once in a while, and we'll listen. Here's how we can do it. Two things. It's simple. This is not complex, and you're going to be like, oh, I've heard this before. Let's make sure we're doing it then. So that we can defeat the counterfeit. So we won't listen to the counterfeits. When he does try to whisper it in our ear, we go, hey, I'm not going to listen to that.
Right.
Not going to listen to that. Look, we need to be, first of all, exposed to truth on a daily basis.
Amen.
How do you know what the genuine thing is if you're not getting exposed to it? If you're constantly being bombarded with the counterfeit, which we are, right? You go out in this world, you see the advertisements, you hear the advertisements, whatever it is, you are constantly being bombarded with the counterfeit.
Amen.
Satan's doing it to dupe the lost so they'll never get saved, but you know what? He's going to do it to try to get us Christians not to live for him. So you got to know what the truth is. You have to expose yourself to some truth. Otherwise, you know what? That lie is going to sound real eventually. If you're never listening and reading the truth, the lie is going to sound like the truth. 1 John chapter 2. First John 2 and verse 14. I have written unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because ye are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. Yeah. Hey, we get this word in us. We can overcome that Satan when he comes in and tries to whisper in our ear. But hey, I've got the truth. I know what's right. I know what I'm supposed to do because I've got the truth. I'm going to do it. It's going to be a lot easier to stand firm and stand strong. I'm going to do what's right because I know what the truth is. The Bible will give us the strength we need to stand up against Satan. And then secondly, I told you it's going to be simple. Prayer. Prayer. Look in Matthew chapter 26. Matthew 26 and verse 41. It says, watch and pray that ye enter not in temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Amen. So you got something that's with you all the time that sometimes we forget about. Right. Satan is not omniscient. He's not able to be everywhere at once, okay? Right. I believe he's got his demons that help him, but they're not even able to be everywhere all at once. Right. But you know what's always with you? That stinking rotten flesh is always with you. And you know what? It's always fighting against you. And it's for some reason it wants to stay on Satan's side and fight you. And it fights your soul and it fights your spirit and it's just a battle. Well, God says, hey, watch and pray. See, if we're feeding our spirit with the word and we're getting before the throne of grace, we can get victory over our flesh and the devil. There's a story of an American Indian chief who was led to Christ by a missionary. And the missionary came back a couple weeks later and visited with him. And he asked him, said, hey, how's your Christian life going? How are you progressing in the Christian life? And the Indian chief told him, he said, I feel like two dogs now live inside me. A black one and a white one. Yeah. And they're always fighting.
Amen.
And the missionary asked him, said, well, who wins? And the chief replied, the one that I feed.
Yep. Amen.
That's so true. Look, if we feed our spirit's going to have victory.
Yes, sir.
But if we continue to just feed the flesh and we don't feed that spirit, that spirit's just going to get, that flesh will get stronger and stronger. Our spirit's going to get weaker. Our relationship with God is going to get weaker.
Yes, sir.
And the flesh is going to get the victory. And then when Satan comes with his lies to us, we're just going to buy him hook, line, and sinker because we can't fight the flesh because we've been feeding the flesh this whole time. Got to feed that spirit. We got to go to God in prayer and ask him for that strength. Lord, I need your help because I know I'm just flesh, so I need your strength to help me overcome it. Look in Galatians 5. Galatians 5 and verse 17 says, for the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. You know what? It's a battle. And if you're going to rely on your own self to get victory, it's not going to happen. Because your flesh is fighting against you. And it's going to fight against you every day.
Amen.
So we got to go to God in prayer and say, Lord, I need some strength. Help me to defeat this flesh.
Amen.
Help me to get victory over it so that I can even have the strength to tell Satan no. Look, Satan could crush us.
Amen.
He's a powerful being. In Job, it compares him to Leviathan. Go read what Leviathan is like and see if you want to go up against him. No thank you. But we serve a God who's greater than him.
Amen.
And he can give us the strength to defeat him. Hey, Jesus already defeated him several times. So he says, hey, you want to defeat him? I can help you.
Amen.
I can help you. We just got to go to him. Look, don't be fooled by Satan's counterfeits when God has the real deal for you.
Exactly.
He's got the genuine thing. You need it. Don't take Satan's counterfeits. Well, I got two more passages I want to look up. What are their ends? What is Satan's end? What is the end for Jesus Christ? Go back to Isaiah 14 and keep your finger there in Galatians because we're going to go to Philippians too. Go to Isaiah 14. What is their end? Kind of end on a good note here. We saw Satan's beginning, and in the same passage, the very next verses, God tells us, hey, you just saw what his beginning was. Guess what? This is what his end is going to be. He gives it back to back. Now, we're in the middle of being right in between, right? And we're just like, oh, man, this guy, Satan, he's a pain. I just wish God just get rid of him. But God says, don't worry. Look, this is what his end is going to be. Look in verse 15. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell to the sides of the pit. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, is this the man that made the earth to tremble, that did shake kingdoms, that made the world as a wilderness and destroyed the cities thereof, that opened not the house of his prisoners?
Yeah. Wow.
That's his end. Every man looking at him going, you?
Right.
You're the one who gave us such a fit?
Right.
You? After God's through with them.
Right.
And for Jesus Christ, look in Philippians chapter 2.
Amen.
Here's the real deal, folks. The genuine. We're going to be there to partake in this. I believe we'll be part of doing this. Not in fear and trembling, but in just awe and wanting to give him this. Look in verse 10. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven.
Amen.
And things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. That's what Satan's trying to produce right now, but he's never going to get it. He's never going to get every knee and every tongue. He's gotten some, but he's never going to get every single one. And in fact, on that day, when we're all doing it, because we just love our Savior and we're happy to do it, we're going to get to look over and see that Satan getting on his knees and bowing and confessing,
yes,
Jesus Christ, your Lord.
Amen.
Your Lord. Let's have our heads bowed, our eyes closed. We're going to have an invitation here tonight. I don't know what God's spoken to you about. Maybe you're struggling with some stuff and you realize, man, you see where it's coming from. You want to get some victory, get some things right with God, come ahead. Hey, maybe you just